Open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word today. We thank you that you have prepared us for the word. We thank you that you have brought us here to receive of your word today. No matter what the guy up front says, no matter what scripture he picks, because I have showed up in this place, in this house, I have committed myself to hear the voice of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you that each one here today will hear a word from God, and they will not leave disappointed because they were expecting something from somebody, but they will receive from the Holy Spirit, because that's why we attend, is to know the voice of God and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the living God. And so today, Lord God, we thank you for your goodness to us, your faithfulness to us, and we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, all of those things that we were busy trying to sort out and figure out and think and make sure that we're all settled before we got in here. Father, we just let them go right now, put them in our pocket, turn off our phone ringer, and most of those thoughts are kind of like a phone ringer. They keep cropping up during the middle of the word, cropping up during the middle of the message, and we miss something. So, Father, we thank you for the attentiveness of the heart, and we give you the glory, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is faithful. Amen? You know, God is amazing how God created you. He created you so that you can retain and receive information. Amen? In your brain, in your mind. So it's by the Spirit, but it's also that mind, because God said he commanded you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, didn't he? Remember? And he tells you in Romans chapter 12, is that you might be renewed, that your mind might be renewed by the word of God. Amen? Your mind is being changed by the word of God. What is that? That is, your mind is being is repenting. Amen? Repenting for the Christian is not stop sinning. Yeah, we'll get to that. Repenting for the Christian is not stop sinning. Repenting for the Christian is change your mind. Stop believing what you used to believe based on the information that you had and have had. Repentance is, there's good news, listen up and believe it. Then another place of Scripture says, repent and believe the gospel. So you must have been believing something else that you had to repent or turn your mind away from. And how many know every morning and every afternoon we have an opportunity to repent? Huh? I mean, every time something comes up, that there are thoughts in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, where these thoughts rise up against the knowledge of God. Amen? Anybody ever have thoughts like that? They just rise up against the knowledge of God, and it's all of a sudden you're wandering off to some other corner of the building trying to determine what you're going to do next because something went wrong. Something went haywire. Something blew up, and you didn't know what in the world you were going to do to it because you only have in your mind you've been a Christian for a while. You have other stuff. But your natural inclination is to go rescue in your own strength. Amen? That's your natural inclination, is to go rescue in your own strength. And this is really part of the story of 1 Samuel here. Is somebody who cannot rescue a circumstance with their own strength. Amen? Been through it, been trying, been up to everything they can do to rescue a circumstance or a situation. And, you know, what the Lord does not want you to do is get depressed over the situation that you cannot do, that you cannot fix. Amen? I mean, people do. People just get all wound up because of things that they cannot fix. And it's just obvious that you can't fix it. I mean, you know, you can't run the race if you have one leg. It's just hard. It's just something that just cannot happen, you know. And so if you just can't run that race. There are certain things you cannot be. I cannot change that light bulb. It's just, I'll try right now, but I cannot do it. I cannot get up there and change that light bulb. Greg, he can just do it in a minute. Well, maybe not that one. But, you know, I just think about that. You know, I get my wife to get up in a counter and get a thing off a top shelf. Because she's got about 3 more inches or something. Maybe she's got longer arms. I don't know. But she can do stuff that I can't do. Huh? Amen? There are things that you cannot do. Say it. There are things I can't do. Say, it didn't sound like the Bible, did it? Yeah, I can do all things through Christ. You know, no, I can't reach that 6-foot thing. Now, can I get a ladder? Sure, I can get a ladder, you know. But the point is this, is that there are some things that you have to depend upon God to do. Amen? Let's look over here at this scripture. The interesting thing about Samuel is where he came into the world, where he came in, and he, we'll read it here just shortly, but Eli the prophet was the priest. Eli the priest, not the prophet. Eli the priest was the head priest down in Jerusalem at the time, or in Shiloh at the time, excuse me. And so Eli is the priest down there, and this priest, it's kind of a disaster, really. You know, he's a guy with a job. His sons were a mess. You know, it's just. And what was happening was that there was never a prophet after Moses until Samuel. There was not a prophet. There were priests, but there was not a prophet since Moses until Samuel, all the way through the judges, the period of the judges, there was not a prophet. But God raised up Samuel as the prophet. Let's look here. Now there was a certain man of... Now usually I'm boldly going through these, but this one, I'll have to let Norman do this one. Ramathabim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, who do you think that was? That's why men should not have two wives. Let me just read the Bible. You got a built-in adversary. And her adversary, which is Peninnah, no doubt, also provoked her sore for to make her fret. Oh, it wasn't an accident. She did it intentionally. She provoked her willingly, deliberately, with the intention of giving her a hard time because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, Elkanah, as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. So they all went up, and Peninnah provoked her every time. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Now I'll talk about Elkanah for a minute. Elkanah is a Levite. Samuel didn't just kind of come out of the blue, but he came out of another part of the tribe of Levi, from another part of the country, from Ephraim. So he came out of, his family originally came out of Bethlehem, where Ephraim settled, and then also out of Mount Ephraim, where they moved. That family had moved, so that's where they were living. But he was a Levite. He was of the, so God did not abrogate himself. He raised up Samuel as a prophet out of the tribe of Levi. It's just like great uncle Jimmy, you know, instead of, because Eli was not going to have, as we'll find out later, Eli was not going to have any sons left to take over the priesthood. And so we find that out later in the book. So verse 8, Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you eat not? And why is your heart grieved? This guy is paying attention, for sure. Another reason you don't want two wives. Praise the Lord. Amen. Guys? Yeah, I'll tell you what, men don't... It's kind of illegal and kind of a legal hassle to do it these days, but men and women do that. They kind of adopt somebody. And you need to not. I don't know why I'm headed that way. You need to not adopt an additional wife or an additional husband. Somebody who will listen to you. Somebody who will care for you and take care of your needs because your husband or your wife is not taking care of your needs. It's just a problem waiting to happen. Trust God. Trust God. Let God be your ear. Amen? Amen. Don't be getting cozy with somebody else and they're just a good friend. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you got kids, tell them don't do it. Don't cuddle up to somebody just as a good friend. It's not a good idea. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you eat not? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Dummy. You're the guy I'm trying to have the sons for. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm worthless if I don't have sons for my husband. That's the culture. So am I not better to you than 10 sons? You don't get it. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Apparently there was no resolution to that issue in that verse. Rhetorical question. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? The guy really knows how to comfort her. So Hannah rose up after they, and all the women said amen. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. So Hannah rose up and she goes out. And here's Eli outside, basically kind of out in the garden, out in the foyer, out in the garden of the area. And he happened to be there. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He watched, he wasn't right next to her, so he was looking across the way, and he probably doesn't see very well anyway, and he was watching her mouth just moving. And now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. Well, that's what you want to think when you're all at church together, and you know somebody goes outside to pray. You think, oh, that woman's drunk. All the faith in your congregation. So he thought she had been drunken. And Eli went... He accosted her. He said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. The pastors always know exactly what's going on. Amen. Woman, stop drinking. I mean, the woman's crying, praying. You know? So the pastor comes up and says, stop your drinking. So I just want you to know that your pastor doesn't always have it. He's just the priest of God. You know. So praise the Lord. Amen. So if we get it wrong, just forgive us. Amen. We'll read you the word. Pray. You need to pray like the woman. Because we'll see what happens when the woman prayed. But we'll also see an interesting caveat to the priest who accused her of being drunk. Verse 15 says, "And Hannah said," or answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid as a daughter of the devil," Belial, "as a daughter of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and the grief and grief have I spoken here too." Okay, so she's explaining herself, you know, obviously to the, because I mean she's, you know, "Oh my, the pastor thinks I'm drunk now, you know, and it's a guy he doesn't see but once a year, you know, so it's not like the pastor you see every week. You see this man of God, you see him at a distance, and all of a sudden now your first encounter with the guy is bad. So, now I think I've really messed it up. I'm sitting here pouring my heart out to the Lord, and then the pastor thinks I'm drunk. How will I ever get anywhere now? You know, the one guy who should be able to help me is messing me up. Anybody ever had an experience like that? That was again like we're talking about somebody you put your hope in and your confidence in, and you know, then somehow the whole thing just fell apart and messed up. Do you ever put your hope in people? Huh? Amen. Don't do it. Don't put your hope in people. You to a measure, you know, you expect, you know, when you drop your clothes off to get hemmed, they'll be hemmed by the time you get back. Sometimes they mess them up. So, you know, don't get all bent out of shape because people fail. Amen? How many know pastors fail? How many know moms and dads fail? How many know kids fail? Well, that sounds like a wonderful message. No, it's true. It's true. People mess up. That's why we need Jesus. Amen? That's why we need a Savior. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to love and to forgive like Jesus had. Amen? Because people are just going to mess up and they're just going to make you mad if you're in the flesh. Huh? Amen. If you're in the flesh, people are just going to mess up and you'll get mad. Instead of loving them, you will, and forgiving them, you'll just get mad. And you will be of no benefit and blessing to them at all. Amen? Some people need to be forgiven. I think most of them do. Huh? Some people need to be forgiven. Others, not so much. No, you need to forgive. No, you need to walk in forgiveness. Now, circumstances typically will get people. Amen? Circumstances will typically get people. They don't need you to help. All they need you to do is love them, give them the Word of God, forgive them, encourage them to follow God, but they don't need you beating them up. Amen? Beating you up in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. How many know Jesus didn't do that? Amen? I mean, most of the church is about judgment, right? You know, because somebody didn't do something right, apparently. But non-apparently, most of us haven't done the rest of it right. Amen? So we're busy judging and cursing the sinner and neglecting to look in the mirror. Amen. It's powerful to get your own sins forgiven and then to love your neighbor. Amen. To get your own sins forgiven, go before the Lord, say, "Father, thank you that you forgive my sin." Everybody say that. "Father, thank you that you forgive my sin." You've already done it. Amen. That was it. It's all done now. And you know what the issue is that you need to receive forgiveness. Amen. You know, you're not chasing God down trying to get forgiveness. "God, please. Oh, please, I'll never do it again." That's a lie. But to receive forgiveness as a never-ending flow. Amen? Because that's what you need. Because in this body, you are never going to stop sinning. You may reduce because the Holy Spirit is working in you to transform you from day after day. And you are being transformed and you are sinning less, by and large. But the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you. But what He wants you to do is not beg forgiveness, but He wants you to receive forgiveness. There's a difference. How many know there's a difference? Because if you think that you have to beg God for forgiveness, then you're not confident that He has already forgiven you by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. I just need to remember it. And it doesn't give me a license to go sin. What it does do is gives me a confidence that God loves me and has forgiven me, and now I can live boldly in righteousness that He provides. He provides. I don't provide the righteousness. He does. Are you peaceful? Are you rested? Are you happy? Are you joyful? Or are you looking at yourself as if you could have done better and improved? Don't do that. Quit looking at yourself as if you could have done better and improved, and just receive the forgiveness of the Lord and get up the next day, get up the next hour, and just begin to walk with the Lord again. Because so many people put all of their effort into their own strength rather than into thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing because they've been forgiven. Anybody know what I'm saying? Is anybody familiar? No? Yes? Rejoice. Enjoy the forgiveness of the Lord. Now let's look back at our scripture. And verse 17, let's look at that. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So she had just made her the fact that she had not been drinking known, trying to kind of righteous herself up in the presence of the priest. Then Eli answered and said, now watch this. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of Him. Boom. He didn't know what it was. He didn't hear what she was saying. Even though a man of God can mess up, a man of God can agree with what God said, is that you ask, you'll receive. Eli answered and said, go in peace, the God of Israel grant you your petition which you have asked of Him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way. And did eat. Well, she ate. I mean, she was skipping. She was skipping out of there. She got a word from God. The Lord grant you your petition. Woo! Yeah! Amen. I mean, she wasn't expecting to meet the priest Eli out in the garden. You know? And so all of a sudden, she has an opportunity to hear from God. Not that Eli was God, not that he was perfect, but he gave her good news. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning. This is the last day they're going to be there. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when it was time for when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice. So here we are a year later. And his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. So she said, I'm going to give this child to the Lord. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems to you good. Tarry you until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. Wow, what a husband. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So let the Lord confirm his word. Let the Lord confirm his word. That's what we want, is for the Lord to confirm his word to us. There is a time, she didn't go straight up and bring the child up. But there was a time to wait. There was a time to let the living God do what he was going to do. There was a season. And in this culture, the season was to not take the child up until the child be weaned, until the preparation was made. God is having a specific time set aside for the vision. I'm glad Lori shared what she did this morning about the vision, because that's what this is. God had a vision. It's not a surprise that this woman wanted a son. And God put it in her heart to ask for a son and then to promise that that son would be given to the Lord. He had this plan from the foundation of the world. There is a vision and a foundational plan, because he knows you from before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. And so he knows exactly who you are. You're not a surprise to God. You're not an orphan. You are someone whom God knows, and whom God expected, and he knows every hair on your head. He knows the plan that he has for you. If you like that scripture over in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I have for you. I know them. Plans for good. And not for evil. God has no plan for evil for you. Amen. Well, this thing happened. That thing happened. That is not the plan of God to do you evil. Do things happen? Yes, they do. But that is not the plan of God to do evil, to perform evil upon you. But whatever comes, his plan for you is good. Huh? Yes. See, you want to look at the microcosm. You want to look at your little plan, what's going on in your little part of the world. But God has a bigger plan. Amen? God has a bigger plan. And what's important for you to do is to receive with joy the forgiveness and the love of God and the Word of God, and to go forward knowing what little you know. All she knew is she wanted a kid. All Hannah knew is she wanted a baby. God had a bigger plan for the baby. God knows the end from the beginning. That means he's got this big, long timeline, and he knows everything that is going to happen and has happened. He knows everything. Time doesn't bother God, because he sees the whole thing. Well, how can he do that? Well, he's God. He's God. But he's got the whole picture. Amen? He's seen the movie. You know anybody, you've seen the movie? Don't tell somebody how it ends. We went and saw Finding Dory the other day. Any old people know what that is? Any grandparents know what Finding Nemo is? Well, Finding Dory is part two. And I am going to tell you the end of the movie. Bad, Pastor. No, I'm not going to. But God, the whole point is that I've seen, I'm like, God, don't put that on the tape. Please. I've seen the end of the movie. I know exactly how it ends, and it's not going to change no matter how many times I watch the movie. Right? Amen? So, the point is that God knows. So God's got a plan, and he knows what's happening here, which is where you are, But he also knows what's happening here, where you will be. And he also knows what's happening here when whatever that was you got afraid of back here in the middle got resolved and God got glory from it.
Amen.
I mean, here's one in the middle that was, oh God, what did you do? And here's the one further down where, oh God, what did you do? You delivered us. You set us free. You got us a good president. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. Or whatever. Now, I mean, you gave us a, I mean, there are some times that you just wonder about God. You know, this is just what seems so bad. I mean, anybody ever had things that seem bad? Huh? Just, you got to understand that God loves you and God is going to bring things to pass in your life that'll bring Himself glory. And you're going to be glory, and you're going to be happy about it. And you're going to be rested. Amen? But the point is to be rested on the way. So rest on the way. No matter what you see, rest on the way. Amen? See, you're different than other people. You have a hope and a future. You're different than other people. Other people, they don't know that. They don't know that they have a hope and a future. You do. Huh? You do. Samuel do. Can you imagine what was happening when Samuel saw that? We'll jump ahead a little bit. You can read this on your Bible. I'm not ruining anything for you. Is that, you know, all of a sudden, now the people of Israel decide they want a king. God said, they don't want a king. But they think they do. And of course, you know, then they had an election, like a Brexit. You know, I'm not saying whether that was good or bad, but they had an election and decided to get a king. Well, then they get Saul. It looked good for a while. Then Saul just became kind of a guy, a man in a king suit. But he was just a guy doing stuff, you know. Like we think of politicians. They look like they're in a God suit, but they're just a guy. And they're not doing anything. They're just doing for themselves. Or they're just doing what a normal person would do, you know, and you put them on a pedestal, and then you say you can knock them down. You know, once they do stuff that you would do. You know, that's what happens. Is we knock people off pedestals when they start doing things that we would do. And they didn't expect it. You know, you didn't expect him to be a bad guy. Or you didn't expect him to be a phony when you were. Or, you know, whatever it might have been that you had some kind of an expectation that was unrealistic. Amen? Everybody's a people. Everybody. Everybody's just a people. There's no people that are special. There's no people that are special. Just because they can sing good doesn't mean they're special. They can't keep a marriage together for save their life. Yeah, you know, they've been married 6 times. But boy, they can sing. So what? They're miserable. Their lives are miserable. Their example is miserable. Amen? Don't make them God. Praise the Lord. But they wanted to... So Samuel, you know, when they ended up with a king, he was like, no, y'all do not want this. But I mean, it was something that he was unhappy about. But God had plans and a hope and a future. Amen? Praise God. David and Bathsheba. God had a hope and a future. Here comes Solomon. I mean, that was a mess. How many know God can make, God knows your mess? Huh? He doesn't like your mess, but he's aware of it. And he's not mad. He loves you. Look here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and 1 bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah, I want you to read with me this prayer. This prayer reminds us, of course, many years, long before Mary. But listen to the prophecy that takes place. Someone who has received a gift from the Lord. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation." This is the Holy Spirit flowing through her. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and he brings up. The Lord makes poor, and he makes rich. He brings low, and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail." For by strength shall no man prevail. "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to the king, to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Wow. And she just had a baby. God will begin to operate through you as you give him the freedom to do it. Amen? Without you controlling circumstances. I know it's hard not to. Because there are certainly, and because we have, certainly today, we've got a lot of ways to control circumstances that people in those days did not. I mean, you can get in your car and drive away. Amen? I mean, you know, people, they just had to walk. I mean, you can get all kinds of things. Get on the internet and find a solution to your problem. Anybody ever done that? Stop. When you get trouble, stop. Let's ask God. Let's not drive away. Let's not get on the internet. Let's fall on our knees. How many things can I do to fix this circumstance or situation? Hannah went and prayed before the Lord. Cried out to the Lord. And God met the need. And he also met the needs of the people. He also met the needs of the entire nation. Amen? So God is going to use you to meet the needs of an entire nation, or an entire city, or an entire family. Amen? He will use you. Just ask him first. Ask him first. No matter how much people are, no matter how many adversaries you have in your house, like Penina. How many have Penina living in your house? Huh?
Don't say that.
You got Penina living in your house? She's your adversary? Amen? Y'all remember Penina, right? You know what Penina means? Jewel. Means a jewel. Or you know what Hannah means? I have a confession to make. I didn't really know what Hannah. I didn't know what Hannah meant. I have a daughter named Grace. Guess what Hannah means? Grace. I named my daughter the same thing twice. But Janet saved me this morning. What did you say? A double portion of grace? That's what we have. Grace Hannah. Grace, grace. I don't think I told her that today. Yeah, I don't think I told her that this morning. Praise the Lord. A double portion of grace is what we have. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now. So Elkanah went to Ramah to minister to his house, verse 11 of chapter 2. And the child did minister to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, by the way. And they knew not the Lord. These are the assistant priests. They just got a job in the church, basically. Guys who got a job in the church. And the priest's custom was with the people was that any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and while the flesh was seething, cooking, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. In other words, it was just like, okay, throw it in there and pull out and hope you get a good, pray for a good chunk of the meat, you know. Sometimes it might come out just, oh man, I missed everything. Got it clean. It's clean. But it's kind of like whatever you grab with the hook, you get to take home to the family. That's the priest's portion. All right? So they did that. Those sons of the priest did that in Shiloh to all the Israelites that came there. That was their job. And also before they burned the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of you, but raw. In other words, sopping wet. And if any man said to him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as your soul desires, then he would answer him, nay, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. These guys were basically the... kind of like the, what was it, the guys up in, the enforcers up in Chicago, you know, working for Al Capone. You know, what did you call that when they were, Yeah, the mafia, basically. It's kind of like protection, you know, pay us off and we'll protect. We get a piece of your business no matter what. Or we'll break your legs. Yeah, these are the priests. Or I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great. It's just an example of these guys. Before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. In other words, people hated going there, but these guys were the guys in charge. People hated going even to church because these guys were at the door. You know, they were the ushers. Good thing Jim's here. He's a good one. You know, where'd he go, by the way? Oh, there he is. All right. He's not at his post. Praise the Lord. You're glad you're not like one of these guys. All right. We've been in churches where, you know, to have a good, get a good seat, you know, you had to pay the guy off. All right. So, but 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now listen to this. Moreover, his mother made for him a little coat. I thought that was cute. A little coat. And brought it to him from year to year. So she kept making it bigger every year, obviously. And when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, and Eli blessed Elkanah, the husband, and his wife, and said, the Lord give you seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. So he understood the fact that she had committed this son, this boy, to the Lord. She brought him up and left him with the guy. After he had, you know, been weaned, because that means he's what, three? Help me out. I mean, back in those days. I don't mean you recent mothers. You try to wean them in a year and a half, you know. Some of these, they weaned them at what, five? You know. And so she had lent him to the Lord. And he says, the Lord give you seed of this woman to the husband for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. We'll stop there. Praise the Lord. And the child grew before the Lord. And Hannah was blessed abundantly with other children. She kept coming to see Samuel. These are hard things. Sometimes God asks you to do things that are, but she had it in her heart to do. God put that original vision in her heart. And it was something somebody would do. They would lend the son to the Lord. And they would bring him to the house of the Lord and let him be raised up. Raised up as a priest. Raised up in the house of the Lord. It's part of the whatever that whatever the culture may be. But God is doing great things in you. And this vision, this story of Elkanah and Hannah and Samuel is God knowing the end from the beginning and giving you a plan for your life that you can trust Him. And that when you He puts something upon your heart, ask Him. Ask Him and know that His plan is to bless you and to bless the world because of what He has done in you. Do you know that you are a blessing? You are a blessing. Say it. I am a blessing. Don't check your credentials. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, but I have two left feet, or you know, I can't add past my 10 fingers and 10 toes. You are a blessing. God created you. God created Samuel for purpose. He created you for purpose. You're not an accident. Amen? Amen. So walk and seek the Lord and say, God. Now, some of you just still may or may not have. You're still wandering about trying to find out, you know, what you're good at. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And worship God. Show up in the temple. Show up in the house of God. Be an encouragement and a blessing to somebody next to you. Do not walk depressed. If depression is the enemy. It's the enemy to look at yourself in the mirror and to wonder why you're here. No, to thank God. For every day that you wake up, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Just because you don't know the plan doesn't mean that God is not working the plan. Amen? So every day wake up and rejoice and spend time with the Lord. That's your job. That's your job. And let Him finish the work. Amen? Start out like Samuel. Come in as a little child. Amen. Could keep just going and going and going. Father, we just worship You. Father, we magnify You and we thank You for the story of Samuel. We thank You for his beginning, his coming into the world. And for the ministry that You put in him to transform the nation of Israel. And he might never have been born if his mother had not come and cried before the Lord. Father, let us come and cry before You. And see the vision fulfilled. We love You. Thank You so much that You love us. Teach us how to worship You. And cry even without words. To see the glory of God. We're not afraid. We're confident that what You promised, You will finish. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.